Good morning. Today is Friday. Got it right this morning. January 24th. Joining us this morning is local broker, realtor, businessman, however you want to call him. Okay, all around nice guy. I see that on your card.
Mention my company, for heaven's sake.
From Four Star Realty, Mark Mattioli.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the other people at Four Star Realty.
Yes, my partners, Jim and Sharon.
No. Yeah, okay. Well, it was the nice guy part
that
I was referencing. Yeah. Are you ready for our opening salvo here, Mr. Mattioli? Why do we say
Why
it?
Why do we say it?
Yeah. Well, are you ready?
All right, give me something.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm getting ready.
Yeah, I can tell you're getting all fired up here about this one. Oh, that would be tacky, so I won't make one's mark. Since you're a marker, we won't do that one. Mantelpiece. How did the mantelpiece get its name? That's almost real estate related.
How did the mantelpiece get its name? Are we supposed to answer this? And
yes.
And then the show's over if we don't get the right?
No, no, it's like right now, and then we move on. It's kind of the rite of initiation.
Can't tell you.
From the fact that it was once just a shelf over a fireplace on which coats, cloaks, and mantles were hung to dry.
All right, so you know what a mantle is then, huh?
Apparently. I think it goes back to riding on horses and getting wet.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of what my general thought is.
One of those, an overcoat.
Maybe. Right. By the way, do you like pineapple or apple?
I like pineapple, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Am I getting a soda out of the deal?
No, it's just one of those waters so that we don't run out of gas. What is the biggest challenge in real estate today, Mark?
From a buyer's perspective or from a seller's?
Both. I mean, obviously, they are linked together.
Well, I heard something the other day about new construction. If you're going to buy a new house, as of January, there's several new laws that take effect that are going to add a lot to the value of a house. A contractor I was talking to said that it'll probably add $25,000 to the sale of a house. And
is that just purely the solar?
The solar is one thing, and then the insulation on the outside of the buildings. First of all, you got a 2x6, and then you've got to put insulation. And so they got to get the exterior way up on my.
So like the wrap. Yeah, you know, as you see the house being built, that wrap is the insulation thing that you're talking about.
And
that's, you guys have got a Victorian, and I other than just being jealous out of the chute, you go back to some of the older buildings that don't have some of these modern requirements associated with them. Those houses seem to breathe and last longer and be, I guess, better. Other than the heating costs, are new construction homes a better long-term value than some of the older homes, let's say pre-1950?
Well, we like to, here in Eureka, we have Eureka Heritage Society, and we'd like to value our existing homes. First of all, it fulfills the requirement of renew and reuse and recycle. Redo.
The green thing, yeah.
The green thing, and so you take an existing house and you can improve it. But truly, I think, that an older house might well have been built tighter. And you might have had thicker walls. You had wood on the inside and wood on the outside. And today you're getting, sheetrock on the inside. They're well built. I mean, these houses have, in terms of energy efficiency, they're probably more efficient than a house like mine. My house has single-pane windows, which are considered not as good. So we're always rolling up our curtains and rolling our curtains back down again.
But you don't have to worry about radon and some of these other things that you hear about that, I'll be sure to have these detectors, or you can just have your window cracked open.
Well, radon is a radioactive gas. It truly is. But we find that it's not here. We've had tests here for Humboldt County, and radon gas is found in very old formations like the Rocky Mountains and the Sierra Nevadas, where you have long-established formations. Our formations are only just millions of years old, not hundreds and hundreds of millions. Anyway, do you remember our former city manager, Greg? You probably had him in here.
Oh, you mean Sparks?
Sparks, yeah.
Well, that's not going back too far. Yes, I can remember last month.
Last month? How fast did it occur? So, well, anyway, he was from this area where they had radon gas in the sub-areas, and I was representing a seller of a house that he bought. And he insisted on having a test for radon. And I go, really? You want to have a test for radon? And I, you know, we've not found any radon in tests that we've done here. What's that all about? So he does. Sure enough, there was no radon. Months later, I ran into him somewhere. I asked him about that. I said, what is this? What is your concern about radon? Well, we get radon where I'm from and where I came from. And I said, well, what do you do about it? You know, it's radon gas, radioactive gas. If it's in the sub area of the basement, they put a fan in and blow it away. So that's, but they do that. That's what they do. And so, I mean, it's a gas. It's not a solid. Right. It's not a liquid. It's a gas. And so they blow it away. But it is, yeah, you mentioned radon, and that's something we talk about. We talk about also asbestos and formaldehyde, mold.
Yeah. I would think mold is probably the biggest issue, or whatever that white stuff is that's sometimes found by the
black stuff.
The inspectors. Yeah, well, that's the mold part. Mm-hmm. What is the most prevalent issue that you do run into for a home being listed or at the time of the transaction?
The big ones. Yeah. Roof, heating. The roof is going to cost $12,000, $18,000. So you're selling your house. You come to me to sell a house. I say, how's your roof? When was the last time it was replaced? Oh, it was replaced. I think we get it 30 years ago. Oops, concern. No, we got this when we bought it. It was a new roof 5 years ago. Not so bad.
But five-year life roof. Whoops.
Yeah, well, no. Even with a five-year life, you want to have it inspected. Because maybe it wasn't done well. Maybe there's leaks around the pipes that go through the roof, you know, that vent, ventilation pipes, etc. So we commonly have these kind of inspections no matter what. A well-prepared seller has both a roof inspection, a pest report, and we'll talk about, and a home inspection. Home inspector looks at electrical, plumbing, heating, drainage. Roof inspector obviously looks at the roof, and the pest guy looks at rot damage, wood-eating pests, termites, powder post beetle, dry rot, wet rot.
All the favorites.
All the favorites, and they're there in good old Humboldt County, sir.
Yeah, imagine that. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the Mark Mattioli.
Phew. Thank you.
That pedestal just went up another inch and a half there.
I appreciate it very much, Brian. Yeah. Thank you.
What are some of the things that people should do if they're considering selling? Buying, I think, is fun.
Yeah.
Selling buying is shopping. Not quite the same way.
Buying is shopping, whereas selling... A well-prepared seller is the best seller, and that's the seller who would have inspections on his house before we even get a buyer. The worst time to find out about a problem, pest, roof, or heater, or one of those, or mold, is during escrow. Better to learn before you make your transaction, before you make your deal, and you are in escrow. So a wise seller will have a roof report, a pest report, and a home inspection. Roof report obviously looks at the condition of the roof. You could have a five-year-old roof. What? Pen out?
My pencil ran out the lid, so I was just getting another stick from Winston.
So you could have a five-year-old roof, and it could still be a bad roof. We had a roof once where I go over to check on the roof inspection by, actually it was a home inspector looking at the roof. And he's up on a ladder, and I said, gee, how's it going up there? Should be pretty good. It's only 2 years old, said I. He said, Mark, I'm sorry, I have to tell you something. This roof is the fourth layer of roof.
Uh-oh.
And you're going to, it has to be pulled and redone. Why? Well, because the guy who owned the house had his nephews come and do a job for him and to save him a lot of money. So nephews, they didn't seem to know a lot about roof building, and they put a fourth layer of roof over the top. Well, the nails hardly stick by the fourth layer. So here was a two-year-old roof that was called. So with that lesson learned, it seems like we always have a roof report wisely if I'm representing a buyer on a house. So the other one is, I said, pest report. It's called the standard structural pest report, and it talks about the kind of pests that can eat wood. And they are certainly termites. It's commonly referred to as a termite report, but it talks about powder post beetles. Powder post beetles are a little tiny hole you'll see in wood, and they multiply.
Not a single.
Yes, there are many.
They travel in
many
packs.
You'll see these many holes. And at a certain point, if they've been in the piece of wood significantly enough, that wood has to come out. But if it's not so significant, you can spray for powder post beetle, but you need to have that spray done. These days, spraying, spray job on a small area might be $600. A lot of that expense is because of the insurance necessary to handle these kind of poisonous chemicals.
The licensing, so to speak.
The licensing, yeah. So the powder post beetle is a factor that termites, they're subterranean, they dwell in the soil, and they come up and eat your wood. Once they get into a wet area of wood, look out if you don't know they're there and you don't follow them. I've seen some really disastrous things happen when people don't know that there's...
Impressive.
Yes, impressive things happen when there's termites.
Now, dry rot is also something that's not critter-driven, but it's something...
Well, these are little critters. These are fungal-sized critters, and they are critters. And they're alive, and they eat wood, and they like wet wood especially. So dry rot, fungus damage. A fungus can eat wood. That's a remarkable thing. So this is one of the things that will be found. So a wise seller gets that report, finds out that there's $1,843 worth of work. He has it done so that when his buyer comes along, we can offer a termite certification. And that's a nice sound, yeah.
Just beautiful. Makes it easier.
Makes
to
it
go
easier.
Through.
You sound like you're ready. It sounds like the house has no problems. Who wants to buy a house with problems? You want these kind of problems to be done. The last one was home inspection. What the heck's a home inspection? Well, he will look at your electrical, your plumbing, your heating, your drainage, that sort of thing. Electrical has become a serious issue in good old Humboldt County, Eureka, and our older neighborhoods because many of our old houses, built to about 1940, had what's called knob and tube wiring. Heard the words knob and tube wiring?
Well, yeah, okay. Historical.
Historical, yes. And knob and tube wiring are a ceramic knob with a hole in it and wire on one side, wire on another. Wires are separated. They're not in a conduit or a rubberized wire.
Yeah, the Romex.
The Romex that's all in one piece.
The stuff you see at the hardware store today.
And then as we work our way into the late 40s and 50s, you get just two wire, no ground. So your home inspector will test to see if you have grounded outlets or non. Grounded outlets like this one right here, three prong, matter for electronic devices, a computer, even these days a television. And if you don't have grounded outlets and something happens, you lost your piece of equipment.
Boom.
Yeah, it's just, there's no, yeah. So those are the kinds of things that a home inspector would find out. And a buyer wants to know that too. So,
now, would it make sense if you're in a home and you plan on staying there to have one of these done every 5-10 years? Not for resale purposes, but just to make sure that something isn't going on and
it's
no surprises.
Idea. And it's probably the same reason we all should need to go on a diet on occasion, because we ignore it and we get to the wrong place.
Thanks.
So, yes. So, Brian, yes, you should have that, but do people do it? Not necessarily. It usually happens when it's time to sell.
An issue.
Or, yeah, if the roof is leaking, that's, they let it go too long.
Right.
And the roof damage can go all the way back inside the house. And all.
Now, are there specialties? I would think somebody exploring or trying to do one of these reports in a Victorian is going to be a whole lot different than a home that was built yep. 15 years ago yep. in a development?
Well, our home inspectors, and we have some good ones. There's half a dozen who are in the industry here, and they're licensed to inspect homes inside and out. They will know about knob and tube wiring in Eureka, California.
They know what they're looking for.
Or Arcata.
Yeah, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with broker, realtor, all-around nice guy, and partner in Four Star Realty, Mark Mattioli. See, I got
Thank
it
you.
All in there.
Thank you, Brian.
It's a heavy title you wear.
So you were talking about a well-prepared seller. And
then on the flip side, you know, you don't want to go in ignorant as a potential buyer. Now, obviously, there's also going to be your real estate agent or broker is going to be in this equation also. But initially, just trying to go, well, I don't know. Okay, it's time. Let's start looking. And you kind of drive around the neighborhoods and you see what the signs are. Mm-hmm. And you kind of go, well, okay. And you figure out, well, we don't have kids now. We're going to have a couple. What is the ideal size home? Mm-hmm. What do we look? Blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And you kind of start doing your little bit of research. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. I mean, that's easy stuff. What do you recommend that people do if they are looking? Yeah, should you pre-qualify?
Can I finish our points about the well-prepared seller? A lot of it the well-prepared seller has to do with the buyer who looks at that house and says, "Look, I want a roof clearance, I want a pest clearance, and I don't want any knob and tube wiring in my house." So it's driven by the buyer. Sellers don't necessarily volunteer to go out and tighten up their house every year. Brian, I know you thought that was a nice thing to do, and that's your Boy Scout background. You know, you're just that kind of a guy. But no, it's common that people just don't until the moment when they need to sell. And what drives it is a buyer. So now we're on the buyer side. And a buyer does not want to buy a house that has problems. They spend their, you know, the whole wad they've saved up to buy that house, and now they got to spend $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 to fix it up. It's not something they'd like to do, and it will back them away. So that's the other part about that. But as to buyers,
but now those can also be negotiating points, can't they?
It is negotiating. I say we negotiate twice on a transaction. I say the first time we do it is when we're negotiating the price to our buyer, and the second time when we're negotiating work that might be found. Do we have to do the work? Most every seller will tell me, Mark, you know, we're really going to sell a house as is. I hope you know that now. Keep that point. I want to sell a house as is. Well, commonly, if there's work to be done, we may well sell it as is, but we may have to do a credit to the buyer, credit for closing costs, a credit about a price reduction, or something to take it into account. Just because you say something and you demand something doesn't mean it'll happen. Buyer will back away. So you have to negotiate that second time.
Now, if, let's say, one of these reports comes through and it's indicated that XYZ needs to occur.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that become part of that listing, that house? Does everybody subsequent to that also get that knowledge?
If you get a report and it says that there's $10,000 worth of pest work and the sale falls apart, from a point of view of honesty and integrity, you have to disclose that to that report is now has to be shown to the next buyer. It's a disclosure issue. You can't go and hide that thing. Now, don't tell them about that pest report. Not going to happen. Going to happen. So once the cat is out of the bag that there is a $10,000 worth of work, you're going to have to face it. So that's commonly how we guide a seller into saying, look, I know the work's there. It's deferred maintenance. Perhaps you should have done it, and it didn't get done. Now it's facing us in our transaction with our buyer. So I recommend, and we try to do our best to get, you know, keep the seller happy and and not lose that $10,000. So we might say, why don't we suggest we'll pay half of it? Why don't we give them a $5,000 credit? Buyer may say, okay, that sounds all right. In America, by the way, meeting people halfway seems to be a very common and happy road. So people use that all the time. But not to do that $10,000, they don't want to have the work done. They certainly don't want to have it done during escrow. An escrow is a tight time frame. You can't call Mike Strickland or any other guy up on Tuesday and say, I want you to start Friday. I mean, he's got other things going on, you know. So you would try to probably have a negotiation which your seller gave a credit or something like that.
So as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there from a seller's point of view, again, I would think, you know, you take care of everything that you can. From a buyer's point of view, how do you try to figure that out? What is the quick litmus test? Mm-hmm. You know, if it's, let's say you're buying a house that was, some older folks were there and they hadn't changed the carpet in 10 mm-hmm. years. Okay. Some people go, they need to put in new carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And others go, you know, we're going to rip that stuff out anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's not worry about it and move on because we want it to be ours. Two different points of view, two different perspectives. Is that kind of the counseling?
That has to do with value. When a buyer judges value of a house and it has dated cabinets and dated carpets and that sort of thing, they're not going to pay what they might think it, the seller might think it should be worth. And so, yeah, it comes into play in the negotiation. So
how do you know what you can look through? What's a transparent thing and what is something that is a critical thing?
It all starts when you ask your realtor this question. Mark, how much do you think my house is worth today? I get that question a lot. And even when they're not selling, everybody wants to know what their house might be worth. So it starts there. So Mark would look at that house, just like any other realtor. We have many excellent realtors here in our community, and see that used carpet and know that, you know, I think that's going to affect value. And maybe notice that it probably does need a new roof, and either the Mr. and Mrs. Seller are going to have to replace it, or a credit has to be given, or we're going to take it into account on value. So value is where it starts.
So Mark and Jeanette driving neighborhoods looking for their first home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm. I would think things like paint. Is the lawn mowed? Is there landscaping? What's the condition of that? There is just some really easy, quick, boom, stereotypical, okay, this is what we can expect there. This is what we can expect there.
Mm.
And if it's a well-manicured home in a well-established neighborhood, you're probably not going to be able to whittle things down too much. If it's that outlier home in a middle-of-the-road neighborhood, you might be able to get a little flexibility.
Maybe so. I will tell you that a good buyer is also a prepared buyer, and he has checked out, he or she has checked out the market, and he has seen 10 houses or 20, and that's what our job is too. We go shopping. If you're going to buy a car, a used car, you don't look at one used car and say, I'll have that car. You look at a dozen, and you try to see that this car, which is a little newer than the last, has less mileage. That's the one I want compared to the price I would pay for one with more mileage.
So it's kind of like looking at colleges. See a lot so you know when you find the right one.
That's a pretty good analogy.
See, now it's a double recommendation if you got kids going to college or if you're looking to buy a house. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Mark Mattioli. Mark, the concept of how do you determine what a house is worth?
Very good.
Either as a buyer or a seller, and then, okay, what is a fair negotiating range? What isn't? I know.
It's a mystery, huh?
We don't negotiate. It is, you know, you price it what you want it, and we will make the determination based on that. I'm not going to get into the battle because that's not how I operate. I don't go to the grocery store and say, well, you got a buck and a half on that cantaloupe. I'll offer you a buck ten.
different situation, certainly so.
But same philosophy.
Well, as we were saying there, you're shopping for a car. You're going to, you know, it's a shopping experience. But a good buyer has seen many houses. And say they're looking for a three-bedroom, two-bath. They've seen all the three-bedroom, two-baths that might come up. If it's Eureka or if it's Arcata or if it's McKinleyville, they want that location because their job happens to be very nearby or whatever. Or they're working on the campus up at Humboldt or that sort of thing. So the buyer has seen the three-bedroom, two-bath. He sees one that's was built in 2005 versus the one that was built in 1970. And he notices the 1970 house, the same old kitchen, flooring is, and they're asking the same price? Come on. You know, he's going to jump to the three-bedroom, two-bath that's the newer one. So when I'm evaluating a home and when others are evaluating, when an appraiser evaluates a home, those are the things. What is the age of the home? What is the square footage? Buyers will tend to pay more for a bigger house, if everything else is the same, than a smaller one. Does it have a double-car garage or no garage? Double-car garage going to be worth more. So we add double-car garages in. And then we look at the paint and condition of the home as well as carpet. A house that's in excellent condition is going to sell for more than a house that's in just good condition. That's another factor. Age. We already made age. Age, condition, square footage.
So if somebody is
and that sort of thing. These are factors that in determine value. So if I'm appraising one, Brian, please let me finish. if you are, and I'm almost there, really. If you are appraising one, you look at another house that's say the same age, built in 2000, same square footage, and it sold for $320,000. Gosh, we're almost there because we probably think ours is going to be worth close to that. But then the final thing comes into play. That 320 sold 2 years ago. We wouldn't use a comparable that old, but where's the market going is also a factor. After we've judged its comparative one to the other, and I might say this is worth $5,000 more than that, I'll up at five. We look at the overall market and the direction. And we all know about the big bubble that occurred. It was a disastrous thing, and it really hurt our sellers. I had many sellers who lost a lot of money, and it was no fun going to see them anywhere between 2007 and 2012. They had to find out that their house was worth less than they might have paid for it. But it came back. The market's come back, and it's where it was
before
at the peak.
Thanks for coming by, bud. See everybody tomorrow.